You said you were going to give me the name of a murderer. Detective Chief Inspector Tom Raven was sitting opposite the journalist and broadcaster Liz Larkin in the restaurant bar at Scarborough Spa. Liz sipped elegantly from a glass of white wine while he cradled a sparkling mineral water with ice and lemon. The blackness of the window next to them reflected their contrasting images, hers pale with long blonde hair tumbling over her shoulders, his dark with coal tar hair and black woolen coat, the collar turned up. Outside, the autumn wind gave a low howl. A storm was on its way. To an observer, they might look like any other couple on a night out, but this wasn't pleasure for Raven. Strictly speaking, neither was at work. If this had been an official inquiry, he would have brought his Sergeant D.S. Becker Shawcross with him. As it was, he hadn't mentioned he was going to meet Liz Larkin. Becker would have raised her eyebrows at the very idea. He could picture her look of indignation and hear her acerbic voice in his head. What does she want? You know you can't trust her. She's an attention seeker. She always has an agenda. Becker was right, of course. Her voice was the voice of reason. Just recently, she had stepped in and saved him from making a career-ending error of judgment when his anger had threatened to get the better of him. She was more than just his sergeant. She was his guiding light and, he hoped, his friend. But he had kept this meeting a secret from her. He'd been wary about accepting Liz's invitation. He suspected it was just a ruse to drag him out on a cold October night. Liz had been shamelessly flirting with him ever since he'd first encountered her during a tricky murder investigation. She had hindered his efforts on that occasion and had been a long-standing thorn in his side. But there had been a spark of attraction between them too. He couldn't deny it. He supposed he ought to feel flattered, as she was undeniably a beautiful woman and some 15 years his junior. But if that was her true motive, he should definitely have refused to play along. Liz Larkin was a dangerous woman, the type not to be trusted, the type he so often seemed to find himself drawn to. "What murderer?" he prompted. Liz gave him an enigmatic smile. "We'll come to that in a moment. First, a bit of background." Maybe it was the chance to revisit a long-lost part of his youth that had finally persuaded him to agree. Echoes of Mercury were playing at Scarborough Spa, the final night of their sell-out UK comeback tour, and Liz had two tickets. How could he refuse? She leaned across the table towards him. "How much do you know about what happened to Echoes of Mercury back in the day?"
"I know all about it," said Raven. "The big mystery. Who doesn't?"
Liz's face broke into a grin. "I bet you are a fan. Go on, admit it."
"A huge fan," admitted Raven with a smile. "Still am, in fact."
He'd first heard the band play live at the Spa decades ago as a teenager with his then-girlfriend Donna Craven. A vision of Donna flashed unbidden into his mind now, aged sweet 16, strawberry blonde hair, red parted lips, the face of an angel and the figure of a goddess. They'd lost their virginity to each other listening to Let's Go to Bed by The Cure. Echoes of Mercury had been another of the goth bands they played while having sex, and there had been a lot of sex. Whenever his dad was out on the fishing boat and his mum was at work, they would retreat to his top floor bedroom, crank up the stereo, and jump under the covers. When he was alone, he had played their music to remind himself of Donna. The sound had blasted out of his stereo on a near continuous loop. He'd driven his father mad with the racket. His mother had suffered in silence. Those were the days when no one listened to music on headphones. The heavy bass guitars, thudding drums and melancholy lyrics had been the soundtrack to his formative years. He still loved their music, and now he had the chance to hear them once again. "So I hardly need to tell you that the band's original frontman went missing and was never seen again," said Liz,